You're listening to Mommy's Playroom Podcast with your host, Christy Fetterly. I'm a mom, former educator, and author who loves to delve into the world of sexual discovery and health. Most days, you can find me typing vigorously at my computer on my farm and usually baking goodies for the kids. However, each week, I'll be popping into your ears to explore different aspects of sexuality and relationships, inviting guest experts to share what they have to say, and inviting you to join in on your own sexual revolution.
All right, welcome to episode 3 of the Mommy's Playroom podcast. I want to first apologize because I did say in the last episode that the next episode would be earlier in January, and life got super busy. But I feel like I've been working on this episode for a very long time, which means it is going to be most amazing. So, welcome. We have made it to 2024. And like I said, I had a super busy start to the year with work travel. I still have a work job. And family came to visit and all this crazy stuff. But I am super stoked to dive into talking about resolutions, talking about the body positive movement, and I got some awesome updates for y'all at the end. So we've made it. 2024. There might not be flying cars yet, but I do think some things have made some advancements, right? I think we can all say that 2023 was a little bit smoother of a ride than previous years, even if your family is anything like my family. And we made some huge changes this year. We moved across an ocean and across a country. I walked away from an almost 20-year professional career, and my husband started his own business. And there are still pieces that we are still adjusting to the after time, right? So the before time is pre-COVID, and now we're still in this after time, and there are still some weird carryovers from COVID, like QR codes in restaurants, which drive me crazy, but right, there's still those pieces lingering around. So I had the opportunity to travel right after the start of the year. So that means I got to dig into one of my favorite pastimes, which is people watching and eavesdropping on conversations. And to be honest, I traveled literally the first week of the year, and I heard so much about resolutions and the start of the new year and all of the things that people want to accomplish in 2024. And it was honestly a little nauseating. I mean, I don't know if that was just my social anxiety in the middle of the LaGuardia Airport, or maybe it's the fact that people cannot simply appreciate where they are, what season of life they are in, and there is like this constant need for more, for better, for more, right? And right before the new year, I was listening to another podcaster. I want to say, I believe it was the Middle Age Witch podcast. That's not really relevant, but she was talking about something that really resonated with me. And it was something to the effect of, like, if we think about previous generations, if we think about our ancestors, and we think about what made them happy, right? Literally the simple fact of knowing that they had a roof over their head, food on the table, surrounded by people that they hopefully loved, right? And they were warm from the cold. That was like the epitome of rock star status. So if you had those things, your life was fulfilled. Granted, in generations past, some of those things took a little bit more work and effort than we put into our daily lives. I mean, there are mornings where I literally don't want to walk downstairs to make a cup of coffee because it's too much work. I actually was talking to my husband about how I think I need to put a coffee bar in my bedroom. And so that is definitely an area that I need to work on, right? But there are these opportunities to really think about, right? And something to be said about the simplicity and the value of rethinking our wants and our needs. And so I was thinking about that podcast when I was sitting in the airport on different flights, flying for a work meeting, and hearing all these people just talk about New Year's resolution, new year, new me, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 right? And I do think it is super healthy to consider your own goals and desires and needs, But what is crazy is when we all think that magically there is something in the air on January 1st, when we set these resolutions in place that will automatically help us achieve the resolutions. Like, I would love a resolution genie. Like, if there was one, I would rub that lamp so hard. Just kidding. So, what's the big deal? I do want to talk a little bit about resolutions versus intentions, because all that I've heard about since the start of 2024 is all about resolutions. I've heard about dry January, no spend January, and all of these like super restrictive resolutions and goals. So why are we being so restrictive with ourselves? And I think about, right, resolutions, and I started to dig into a little bit of research to kind of see like, where did this even come from? Like, where is this starting? Because I don't think generations past that were literally just trying to keep wood in the stove and food, right, to keep their bodies warm, were setting these restrictive goals or resolutions on January 1st, right? They were literally trying to stay warm, and that was maybe their goal. So I started to dig into some research, and it was so interesting to see that, first of all, therapy-based companies anticipate a boom in January. So people are struggling mentally right now, and we are literally putting these restrictive ideologies in place, which is even more damaging, I think. So between January to November, right, November, December are typically slower months because people are busy with the holidays in terms of people that are seeking counseling and support and help like that. Then January rolls around, and those people need support. Those people, we people, all the people, right, need support and counseling, because not only of the time that they had to spend with their families that could be a stressor, but just the stress that we put on ourselves for the holidays, right? So we just got through the holidays, and it is this time of sometimes not feeling like you're doing enough and trying to, like, do what's right and make these memories and all of this pressure, right? So of course it makes sense that there is a boom of people needing therapy-based services in January. And then let's add to that huge boom, already the people that feel like they're failing because they didn't follow through on their resolutions after day three. Awesome. Like, this is really panning out to be the best start of 2024, right? So in another study about New Year's resolutions, they found that 77% of people followed through on their resolutions the first week in January. Awesome. They made it 7 days. 77%. That's pretty high. I mean, we're passing, you know, we're above failing. Then the second week, that drops to 43% of people still following their resolutions. And so I do think it's kind of crazy that we are continually setting ourselves up for failure over and over and over again, which isn't that totally the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? I think so. So I've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and I want to talk a little bit about resolutions versus intentions, because I think that it is totally okay to set intentions for yourself, to continually evaluate your path, your progress, your goals, your life, set mini goals, focus on those goals. Like, that's awesome. Like, we should be on this constant evolution of growth. But it shouldn't always be so restrictive. And there doesn't need to be a single date on the calendar or a moon phase to guide your intention setting. Like, do it when it feels right. Sitting at a stoplight and you're thinking about how you want to focus more on journaling, awesome. Maybe don't journal at the stoplight, but make that an intentional practice in your life. Thinking about how your yoni could use a little more attention, awesome. Be intentional about focusing on yourself and maybe even your yoni a little more each day. There is nothing restrictive about intentions. It is honestly just a little mental trick to help our brain focus on something once in a while. And granted, if your brain works anything like mine, it is all over the place. It's bouncing from one thing to another, which my husband teases me because I literally make like 3 to-do lists for different tasks. I have a to-do list for work. I have a to-do list for the podcast. I have a home to-do list. And if I don't keep shit on the list, I lose it. But I do know that when I am making intentional focus steps to make sure my morning routine is dialed in, even if that means coming downstairs and making coffee a little bit earlier. But if all of those pieces are falling into place, then I'm a better human. Like, I'm able to map my day. I'm able to be cognizant of the times that I'm drifting out to ADHD Never Never Land. And I'm just a better adult in general, like less stressed, less chaotic, and more balanced. Like, I don't need a resolution to tell me that I must focus more, that I must follow a list, that I must X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. Instead, I try to be a bit more intentional with finding my balance in life, which also includes self-time and partner time and all of those things, because we are all very busy humans. And if you are a dreamer and a doer like me, thanks, Dave Chappelle. I just watched that. Maybe it was Netflix. I'm not sure. But his special. And I was like, he talked at the end about being a dreamer. And I'm like, yes, like, I'm a dreamer. I'm going to build this. Anyway, if you are a dreamer like me, you might be all over the place. And so intentionally focusing on many goals and those pieces can help balance your life. But I'm not making a list of all of the do's and don'ts. I'm not restricting myself. So set some intentions. Why not? Don't wait until the next new moon or the start of the calendar year or even a Monday. Like, just do it. Nothing restrictive. Keep a growth mindset and you'll have a better chance of actually sticking to it. Interestingly, this year though, too, I have noticed, in addition to like the push on resolutions, I have noticed an anti-resolution push. Have you guys seen this in social media and in all of the places that we're looking for memes and all of those things? But I've noticed more memes, more reels, more TikToks discussing being yourself, staying true to yourself, right? Don't fall victim to these resolutions, to these negative, thought-provoking, right, ideals. Just be open, be honest, keep moving forward. So my husband is my thought partner, so I'm always talking to him about ideas and dreams. I think he's listening. He does have some very good insight that comes back, so I'm assuming he's listening. But I was talking to him about resolutions and what did he think, and does he have a word for the year or an intention or a resolution? And he said he is just going to be the same amazing self, and that seems to work for him year after year. So there's that. Apparently, he doesn't even need a daily intention or a resolution. But I think my brain is so all over the place that I do need focused thought, right? So that's what my intentions are all about. So I was thinking about intentions and resolutions. I was doing some research and that just gradually dove into just this abyss of the body positive movement. And so I'm going to transition a little bit into that. And I think it's interesting because I was talking to my son about the podcast. My youngest is almost 16, and we were talking about, and he's, you know, he was asking me about the goal of my podcast. And I told him, I was like, you know, I really want to build a community. I want to build a community for people who might not have a voice. I want to build a community that is open and raw and honest and talks about sexuality and health and body positivity and women's issues and men's issues and autoimmune diseases and all of the awesome things that I get to carry with me on my daily life. And he was alarmed and he's like, you need to pay attention to the body positive movement. He's like, it's not all great. And granted, you know, he has his own perspectives, he has his own mind, he has all of those things, right? And so I was thinking about where that ties into resolutions, because, you know, we all know the start of the new year is also the start of the increase in gym memberships, increase in diets, and generally, as I said before, just this more restrictive thinking, which, to be honest, like, it's 20 degrees outside at my house right now. Like, my restrictive thinking is like, oh my gosh, I have to go outside and feed animals and I want to bundle up and stay warm. I'm not worried about, right, like, if I'm on the treadmill today or not. But there is this whole push. And so I need to be totally honest here, because I do fall into this restrictive trap sometimes. And that is 100% with my diet, because I do have an autoimmune disease. I've shared a little bit before, but if I don't keep that junk in check, like, it rules my life. And so I chalk my dietary restrictions up to a medical necessity. And so it is challenging to talk about this restrictive thinking, knowing in the back of my head, I have restrictive eating and I have these things that I have to follow. But it is a medical necessity. It's not a new year, new me mentality. It is, I have to do these things. I think I've shared before, but if I don't keep my shit together, literally, I'm a total mess. So go ulcerative colitis warriors. Yay. Anyway, something that I was talking to my son about is just this trend towards some body positive advocates not seeing the health implications of their weight. Again, I do know how challenging it is to be overweight and hear from your doctors that your blood work looks great. You're the healthiest overweight person they've ever seen. And it's really challenging not to get in the car and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so awesome. I'm going to have a maple glazed donut, right? Because there is this reward system that we have in our brains, this dopamine, right? When you hear the doctor say like, wow, you know, we're surprised your blood work is great because you walk in and you're a heavier person. You want to reward that, right? But that is challenging. That's my own challenge maybe. But it is interesting to kind of look through. So I was looking through the history of the body positive movement, which actually started in the 60s as a way to kind of help all people who couldn't meet the ideal, right, physique to feel positive about themselves. But there is a huge difference between being healthy versus fat shaming versus body positivity. And there has been kind of a push towards acceptance and ownership, even when you are unhealthy. And so my son was showing me there's these three body positive, overweight social media influencers who have recently died because of their choices and their health. And so I was looking at that and I was like, wow, like maybe that's not the message that I want to share, but I do want to be a body positive advocate. And I do watch what I eat and I work out. Well, sometimes like I pretend to work out and I do struggle with my weight. I have most of my adult life. I did have an eating disorder in high school. So there are these pieces, right? But I do think that it is so important that for your longevity and your wellness, that health is your priority. Can you be overweight and healthy? I think so. Yes. Are there other factors that might implicate your health in the future when you're overweight? Yes. Are there other factors just in your environment that can implicate your health in your future? Yes. Like, who knows, right? But I do think that you have to take into consideration, like, are you able to move without extra effort? Is your heart healthy? Is your blood work good? Do you regularly have checkups? Are you up to date with medical visits? If so, awesome. Good for you, right? I do think all bodies are beautiful and that individually each person has their own choices. And so I will continue to advocate for that. But I heard my son's warning, right? And his caution that I should be cautious when using the term body positivity because there is a subsection of the population that reads into that a little differently. Like, I'm body positive in the fact that you make your own choices, do what you feel is amazing, obviously consensually have sex, be healthy, be happy, right? Kind of a golden rule there. Like, but what was interesting is I was doing research into the history of the body positive movement. And it was crazy to see like just how far back it's been part of our society. The terminology has definitely gone through some transitions, but with the general emphasis really being on the fact that you should love your body. However, the toxicity in that is that if you don't love your body, then something's wrong and you need help so that you can love your body, right? Which goes back into that crazy, restrictive, all or nothing thinking. So I can say, like for myself, like I honestly love my body 90% of the time. Like there's once a month where that bitch is crazy and I hate it. But in all seriousness, I do see some hazards with the terminology. And I want to be very clear as I'm building this community, as I'm advocating and sharing my voice about what I mean when I discuss body positivity. And it isn't necessarily an all or nothing, one size fits all kind of mentality. It is a general golden rule, if you will, for our bodies and how we choose to accept them and our vessels as our vessels in this world, right? And maybe for my younger listeners and maybe for my older listeners, you can attest to this as well. But I think something happens after you turn 40. Because to be honest, like I could care less if my neighbors see me looking like Cousin Eddie out on the front porch feeding my farm animals in the morning, or if they catch a glimpse of my back porch fully nude, breath of fresh air sessions once the kids go to school. But do I have dimples and bubbles and shit that I'd like to make prettier? Sure. Sure I do. I do work to be healthier. It is an intention of mine. See what I did there? But I also know that life is short. So as my dad's hat said when I was a kid, party naked and live the hell out of your life. There are some people who believe that there is a misconception between body image and the body positive movement, right? That these social influencers have really started to take it out of context and it can be toxic. But you do you. And if you agree with how I define body positivity, then awesome. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep building this community. So in thinking about all of that, what is one thing you can promise yourself in 2024? What is one intention you can set to make your life even more amazing? Thank you guys so much for listening to our third episode. Our next episode will air on January 31st, and I will be 1 year older. I'm going to do a little bit more traveling this next week, visit some family, but don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Mommy's Playroom Podcast, Instagram, Mommy's Playroom Podcast. Send us an email at macabrepassions@gmail.com. I would love to hear what stood out to you from this episode. You can comment on the Podbean site. You can find me on Facebook. I also am so excited to tell you I am working on some affiliate partnerships, and that is in the works, and it's going to be awesome. And once it's secure and settled, I will be the first to tell you all about it. But if you have any questions, if you have questions you want me to answer about sexuality, wellness, body positivity, or you have an idea for some awesome guest speakers you'd love to hear from, let me know. I am here to support you, and I am so excited to grow this community. Thank you so much. Have a most amazing rest of your day. Talk to you soon.